peanuts in beer, and that that also sometimes tastes nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how extreme we can get.
Baboo.
Let's see how far we can go.
Beth and Bob, uncensored.
Please don't hit me. I'll suck your dick, please. Please don't hit me.
Why would you do that? There are things that just genuinely seem stupid.
I absolutely believe what that dog is doing because it looks great.
Where's your mother? Fall down dead. In my dirty mouth, pretty little head. I wish you were here. I wish you'd make my bed. In my dirty mouth, pretty little head.
Hello, fellow dirty minds. Welcome back, Frank, to episode 22, the double deuce of Beth and Bob Uncensored, Babu Radio on Cosmic Broadcasting. I still can't say that fucking word. Cosmicbroadcasting.com. I don't know why that one's so hard. I'm your co-host, Cabby Bob, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you once again the Bono to my edge, Elizabeth Clements Mosley. Beth, how are you doing this
week? Does that make us right now the most hated podcast in America?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't...
Yeah, I really don't either.
No.
Don't give me a free album. Fuck you! I hate you!
It's more of that entitled fucking bullshit. You can't find something. There's so much real stuff to get mad about.
Yeah.
You're mad because somebody gave you a free album? Fucking delete it if you don't want to hear it.
I know.
And go slam your fingers in a car door.
Yes. Oh, I did that once. It was awful. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I posted that the other day and I said something about bitching about the U2 album and then I said, please slam your fingers in a car door. And a friend of mine who's a writer in Boston posted, it's a minor inconvenience exacerbated by the fact that Bono is a cunt. And I said, a fair point. You may only stub your toe.
Very nice.
You
I see that you're
you
wearing your
to.
Hockey jerseys. So.
Absolutely.
Welcome
hockey
to
season
it's
is upon
October
us.
October now, so Bob is wearing his hockey season jersey.
I went and got my picture taken with the Stanley Cup yesterday.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really understand the significance, but I see that it made you happy. So.
Greatest trophy in sports.
Sure, yes.
The best.
Yeah, it's big and you could put a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you are then.
Yep.
That's
so
what
I've,
happened to Bob.
I got to touch it.
He got to touch it.
I'm happy about it.
Stanley's cup, apparently.
Yep.
Who is Stanley?
Lord Stanley.
Oh.
From Canada.
Lord Stanley from
yes.
Canada?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the Stanleys. It was the Stanleys that betrayed Richard III.
Stanley Steamer?
No.
Oh.
Stanleys. Lord Stanleys,
Lord
in
Stanley's.
Fact. Hermph.
Yeah?
Yes.
From from Canada?
No, not from Canada.
Oh.
It's the original Stanleys.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
They stood on the tops of the ridges and decided whose side they were going to be on based on how the battle went. And then at the last moment when Richard saw a clear path to the usurper, Henry VII, he rode in to stab the little bastard and they rode down the hill, and that's when My Kingdom for a Horse, and oh, it was really terrible.
So the original bandwagon jumpers.
Yeah, pretty much. They were really, yeah. And you know that you're a history buff. I don't remember how old I was, but I was certainly in my 20s and had like a week of my life that I was just so fucking depressed about that and kept thinking, gosh, isn't there something we can do
about this thing that happened hundreds of years ago?
Yes, 400 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, because I think Richard III was a cool dude. I think he's definitely gotten the, you know, I have very, well, they're not deeply controversial, you know. I think Oxford was Shakespeare, and I think that Richard III was a cool dude. And I think Henry VII was really the fucking asshole in that equation there.
All right, fair
fuck
enough.
That guy. Fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah. The good news is he's dead. No, I'm being serious. That's the good news.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's true.
Even the assholes didn't get out of that one alive.
No, That's true. Did a lot of damage though. I'm still kind of mad at him.
Hmm?
I'm still pretty mad at him. And oh my God. How amazing that they found Richard's body finally. Did you read that shit?
I did not.
Oh my God. It was the most amazing thing. It just happened. It just happened in the last year. And it was in a car park.
Oh, yeah. I just
and there was
that.
An R painted on the tarmac above where he was buried. There was an R. There was an R. That was so great. Oh, my gosh. That's like seeing the Stanley Cup. I was over the freaking fucking moon about that. Are you kidding me? Woo! So, yeah, as you can see. And well,
I'm glad to see that history brings you both anger and joy.
Oh, it thrills me. It's the most exciting thing in the entire world. Things that happened 500 years ago that I have absolutely no control over. Exhilarating! And also, for some fucking weird reason, don't really know why, it may be my increased water consumption, who can say, but for some bizarre reason, the mirror was marginally less offensive today as I walked in. And I really don't know why. Go. Do I look different?
No, you seem to be in a little better mood than usual.
Yes,
though.
That could be the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. I see no change anywhere else except when I looked in the mirror. I was all, that's slightly less horrible.
Hmm. You know what it might be, too? Hmm. It's not fucking hot. The weather's getting good.
This is the way I like it. I wish that in, you know, 2 or 3 months, homeless dogs weren't going to be terribly, terribly cold, because then I spend the rest of my winter getting kind of carsick because I have to scan alleyways every time I'm in the car looking for dogs because I don't want them to be cold. And so I spend my entire winter being sad and angry for dogs and other animals.
And that's different from the rest of the seasons. In what way exactly? Just a little more intense because of the weather?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, so the mirror, slightly less offensive, winter, more sad and angry.
Right.
Which makes me really fun for my friends, I think.
Sure.
My friends are always like, oh, yay, there's Beth. Ooh, what's on Beth's Facebook feed?
I have to, full disclosure, I do not follow you. I check your page every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't, and I really had to weigh that. You know, at one point I was like, do I want to be...
No, do your thing.
Yeah, I got to.
That's the thing. It's up to the person what they want to see.
Right.
And it's just, you know...
Yes.
I check yours like once a week. I'll go and see what you put up, and I'll look for the cute videos. And
and if I need you, I tag you.
Right, exactly.
You know, I tag you in the stuff that I want you to see or whatever, but I totally get that because, you know, at one point I really had to say, do I want Facebook popularity? Because, you know, the stuff that isn't about animals suffering is usually pretty fun. Mm-hmm. But I really felt, and I just talked to another friend this week who went vegetarian, and I think in part it might be, not because I made her do it, but I think that the information sometimes penetrates and stuff, and so I feel like I got to do it or I'm wasting my life. Mm-hmm. So there you are then. Okay, there you are then.
Okay.
And so if I want people to laugh, you know, or if I want something from you or like Steve or something like that, I tag you guys and I make sure that you see it, and if not, then I assume that you're not going to, and I get that.
There you go. That's the way you do Facebook, everybody.
Yeah, so fucker who sent me that angry email about like, hey, don't put that stuff in my newsfeed anymore. It's not in your newsfeed, dick, that you control that. That's what the hide function is for, you cock hat. You know who you are.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't really know that guy very well, and I don't want it to be awkward, so... Well, he's not listening to this anyway. Fuck you! So there you are.
There you go. I think it's far beyond not wanting it to be awkward at this point.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
You're already in pretty deep. Can really pull out at that point.
No.
Without making a huge mess.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
So what else is new?
Well, it's October. That's kind of nice. Halloween's my favorite.
Yep.
Love Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Have an idea.
Do you still do you give out or retrieve free candy?
I do not retrieve it.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, I don't. I usually am not home that night anyway, or I try not to be. So it's a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
I do not wish for children to inadvertently encounter my dogs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I bet it would be a pretty difficult proposition having that many people knock on your door with as many dogs as you have. That would probably, you would probably be the leave a bowl on the porch type of house.
Yes.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah, and so I assume I probably won't. And
we just don't. We just turn our porch light off because that's my candy and don't touch it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Bob does get Halloween candy.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Eats the Halloween.
This is when candy is cheapest.
It is. It is. And yeah. I do love candy. I mean, I love candy.
Yeah, I... Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, sorry, Len. I've got our hot tamales
here. Oh, hot tamale break. I'm not a overall candy fan, but there are certain candies that I enjoy quite a bit.
Well, as you know, I really enjoy the hot tamales.
Oh, we're well aware of your... We're intimately aware of your, well, how it sounds when you eat hot tamales and your general love of them.
Yes. Yeah, when you start analyzing different batches and being like, ooh, this is a particularly good week for hot tamales. Let's see how these are. No, these are...
No?
They're fine.
Yeah.
They don't have that chewy tenderness of a fresh batch, however.
Right.
They're just fine.
Right. Well, see, those aren't really a Halloween candy, though, because those are hard to give. Do they come in smaller packages?
I think everything does at Halloween, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Fun size.
Right. Yeah, that's not that fun. What's fun about getting teased with a little bite of chocolate?
You're supposed to eat 26 of them.
Oh.
That's the thing.
They should put that on the label. Serving size 26 bars.
And you know what they're fun for is our friend Mark Cannon, who will eventually be in our show, has pugs, as I've discussed before. He wants to get, we were talking about hoodies for dogs.
Sure.
Because, you know, I love that stuff. And he was thinking maybe for Halloween he would get Aldrin on a black hoodie and get him a tiny fun-sized bag of Skittles.
Sure. Should get him one of those, one of the ones that have they probably wouldn't keep that on. You seen the hoodies with where the zipper goes all the way over the face and it's like a mesh, like it'll have a skeleton on the front and then it'll have like a skull on the
hoodie
and it zips up, but it's mesh so you can see through it and stuff. They're pretty cool.
So, by the way, the joke was, like, nobody's minimizing what happened to Trayvon Martin. That wasn't what the joke was. It was more of a rueful joke about fucking hoodies and Skittles being a scary costume.
Oh, see, I missed that. I was just picturing a pug in a hoodie.
Which is adorable, but I didn't want anyone to think Mark Cannon was like, you know what's funny? Trayvon Martin, that's what's fucking funny.
Right.
It was really, he said it in a very rueful way about Skittles and hoodies being scary.
Gotcha. So. Gotcha.
Well, you don't know who's going to take what how.
This is true.
Really don't.
This is true.
I'm obviously like a fairly rabid lefty type person and...
Mm-hmm.
I don't like for people to think somehow I just got some kind of brain aneurysm and went weird.
No.
You know what's funny? Racism.
It is hilarious.
It's very funny. It's hilarious. Any more people... Well, you know, there's that whole other layer of comedy, like every, I don't know, third of a generation or something, they add a new comment to old jokes, like new layers.
Right.
And so now racist jokes are... racist jokes. They're about the racists who tell them, and
right,
which is why now you can say things, I don't know, the way they, like Colbert does, you know, about,
right, yeah, and satire.
It's satire, and if you don't know that, I mean, if you're somebody 20 years ago, you think that person is making racist jokes when really they're making racist jokes as opposed to racist jokes.
Right. It's a fine line. Speaking of Colbert, though, have you seen any of John Oliver's show that has replaced that show? Fucking great.
Wonderful.
Did you see the one about the Miss America thing?
I haven't yet, no.
You've got to. Watch that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we get it on demand. We just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch
it. It's also online, just that segment. It's like a 12-minute segment. Really, really fucking good. I actually thought of you as I was watching it. I was like, Beth needs to watch this. It's great.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I won't go into it much more than that, but just watch it. It's really good.
I will.
Yeah. I don't know how much of it he writes and how much he's just hosting, you know, just reading the thing, but I think or I want to believe that he has a great deal of input into the writing of it. I know he has a staff.
He does, of course.
I know he
does.
Has a staff of writers. I know he can't possibly write
no.
the whole, because that's just not the way things work. I get that. But, yeah, between him and whoever they've got writing that show, they're doing a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really dig it. That's where I get most of my news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've done all those sort of surveys and studies and find that, you know, people who watch Colbert, Daily Show, stuff like that, are actually more aware of the stuff that doesn't make the mainstream news. Like, we're actually a little bit more aware of world events than
right.
than other people. We're way smarter. We're way smarter and,
well, and the thing,
more informed.
The thing that's, I don't know, a lot of people are, oh, it's a comedy show, you can't. But the way that they, it's that he's so good with comedic timing that he can just, like, it's especially evident in that, in the Miss America thing, he's just, he's not making jokes out of things, he's just saying the facts of the case, but with the emphasis that it's hilarious, it's
yes.
funny, but it's strictly the facts of the thing. It's really interesting.
Oh yeah, it's great. I mean, that's what I love about it, and the satire is the thing that that draws your attention to what's stupid about it, which is
right.
why satire works so
right,
well.
Right, and it's not the hacky oh it's funny because it's true thing. It's the thing that really, really, really great comics can do, like Carlin, like Pryor. They can just tell you a thing that is true,
mm-hmm.
and but it's just because of who they are and how they are. It's hilarious.
Of course. Oh, hello.
Telephone.
Hello.
Nobody's home. I'm sorry. Please leave a message.
Just put them on air.
Oh, let's do that. It would be fun. Maybe not. Don't know who those people are.
Yeah, I never know. Could be a sales call. We don't want to buy anything.
You know, once I was on stage in a show, and I had been given a live cell phone, like a prepaid, mm-hmm. as a prop, which is, you know, I mean, the first time that that had ever happened to me on stage, that's fairly new. And
then at some point, somebody from the wings was supposed to call the number
yes.
and it would ring. Okay.
So the sound booth calls it and I pick up and stuff like that. And
right.
one day, while I was on stage, I got a sales call. Is that not the best thing ever? And I answered that motherfucker on stage
uh-huh.
and like just told him I had to go because I was in the middle of... But it was really very funny though.
Yeah.
I looked down and I was like, that's not the booth calling me right now.
Was it near the right time or was it?
Yes, but not
that's
quite the right time. And it was in the middle of like this thing where I was having a big tirade at somebody and I was just like, I picked up and I'm like, I can't talk right now. I got to go.
Right.
You know, and like it was really great.
So it fit the thing.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
But I received a sales call in the middle of a show.
See, what I want to have happened is that it was at the exact right time of the queue. And so you just delivered your lines into the phone, and here was the salesperson on the other end trying to give their pitch, and you're just spouting non sequiturs back at them, and they have no idea what's going on. That would have been my favorite thing.
Well, thanks for ruining it, Bob, because that's not how it went.
Well, what happened was my second favorite thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right then.
But in future, when you tell that story, make it right on.
I'll just change the way I tell my life so it's better.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I don't know why. Yeah, okay.
That's what, you know, autobiographies are about. That's
Is
what
it?
Ghostwriters are about. Yeah, make it better.
I guess I'm arrogant enough that I want that just what happened to be the best ever.
Right.
Yeah. And it's hard, man. I don't like getting caught out about shit. I remember that from being a kid. You know, you tell a bunch of bullshit. And then later somebody
yeah.
catches you and you feel mm-hmm. like a complete ass and there's just nowhere to turn. That's why I stopped doing it because, you know, however old I was, I just stopped because I was like, oh, man, that fucking
yeah.
sucks.
Lies are hard to keep track of.
Well, and you look so bad.
Yeah.
Like, God, you look so bad later. It took me a little while longer to stop stealing because that has a much more definite payoff. Well, yeah, you did
right.
catch me, but I ate the candy, so
yeah.
fuck you, right?
I had that fun size bar.
I did, and it was always
you can't
toffee.
Get it back.
Yeah,
not in its
right.
original form, anyway.
I have the memory of having enjoyed that, and you know what? It tasted better because it wasn't even mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I stole toffee. I stole score bars and Heath bars. That's what the fuck I took.
Which, rate them 1-2, score and Heath.
Man, I think I know. And then I have the other one.
Yeah.
They're very different.
I got to go score.
I usually lean towards score.
Mm-hmm.
But then Heath is a fine bar.
Oh, Heath's a fine bar. Yeah. We're really having this conversation right now.
We are.
All serious. Oh, don't get me wrong. I've got nothing against a Heath bar.
No, it's a delicious candy.
It is a delicious candy. It's a sugary, tasty treat. Not to downplay the quality of a Heath bar.
No, certainly not. Certainly not.
But in the arena of toffee bars,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think score is king of the heap.
When given a choice, I always stole a score bar. So I guess as an illegal consumer, I mm-hmm. certainly made my voice heard.
And I think if you're stealing, you pretty much always have a choice.
Yes.
Since price point is not a factor.
No, certainly not.
I used a smart-sounding version of price.
Yes, price point.
Yeah, that was to sound very intelligent.
Yes, so all things being equal, because it's all
at
fucking
the end of
free,
the day.
At the end of the day, then you take the one you fucking want.
That's right.
And the one I fucking wanted was the score bar.
There you go.
You know, I walked through the Citadel Mall the year that I was...
I did not know that.
Well, I've done it many times, but mm-hmm. this time was Christmas... I don't even remember what year it was, but it was clearly before there were lots of security cameras.
Hmm.
I believe that I was 15.
So in the 80s?
Yeah, in the 80s, long before there was... They had just started with security stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it was not what it is today.
Right.
I went through the mall, the Citadel Mall, with shopping bags, and I just filled those bitches. And I continued to shop and, like, go eat at the food court. I wandered through that mall for probably 5 or 6 hours. And when I got home, now imagine in 80s prices, I got home and I had stolen almost $700 worth of stuff.
That's like $468,000 in today's dollars.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I could buy a small mansion for what I had stolen
yes.
that day. And that was my Christmas gifts for everyone that year. I felt so deprived of shit when I was a kid, and, you know, I was really angry about stuff, so I just felt like if I was ever going to have stuff, mm-hmm. I was going to have to steal it.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know that I guess I feel less badly about it than if I had stolen from a person, like looked at a friend and took her earrings
right.
or something. That's
yeah.
not really cool, but
it's a storefriend. It's
yeah,
a lot
you really
easier.
Do. Yes, and it's
look,
impersonal.
They don't need all this stuff.
And they got piles of it.
They
and they're already charging too
of
much
it.
Of it. And
yeah.
man, I got caught one time. I used to. What was his name? Oh, I can't remember the security officer that fucking caught us. And I lipped off to him. He was going to let us go, but then I would not shut the fuck up. And so, and I'm actually Facebook friends now. The girl that I stole all that stuff with is a lawyer now. It's pretty funny, but her name is Gail. Hey, Gail. And we stole just piles of stuff from Kmart. What was it? I stole... Oh, what album did I steal? I think I stole a Michael Jackson album. Because, again, all things being equal, you're going to go for the fucking best, man.
That's
and
right.
So I took Michael Jackson. And I think, was it Synchronicity? I think I took Synchronicity. And it was back when they had the tapes in those weird plastic cages
right,
that
yeah.
you had to break off and because they were trying to keep you from stealing them. And then we got caught, and then we ended up... Oh, yeah. So they... And the best part is that because I was 14, they forgot to Miranda me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got out on a technicality. In court, they mentioned that, and I said, nobody read me my rights. And the judge was like, oh, well, fuck. All right, go. And then she said something like, and if I ever fucking see you in here again,
right.
I'm going to throw the book at you. And I was like, I'm just going to not get caught next time, but thanks. Thanks, right. Your Honor. So I did steal for a while longer. Mm-hmm. I think I pretty much gave it up by the time I was 16 because it just, you know, it's not very cool. But
were you ever, and I may be revealing a little bit more about myself, put in handcuffs at the register of a Home Depot?
Not at the register of a Home Depot, no.
It's a little particular.
It is. Why would you steal things at a Home Depot?
Well, I wasn't just stealing things. This was a little bit more evolved.
Oh.
This was credit card fraud.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did that, but I was never put in handcuffs for it.
Yeah. No, this was, back in my days of doing horrible things.
Yes.
And I had a bunch of ill-gotten credit cards, one of which was a Home Depot card.
Hmm.
And so it was very easy to buy things at Home Depot and trade them for drugs because we all know tweakers like to build things.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yes.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I guess that's true because the tweakers I knew wanted to, like, paint little duck stencils across their kitchens mm-hmm. and stuff. So, okay, sure.
Anything like that. Any little project. So we had been almost caught at a couple of different Home Depot stores, but they didn't have enough on us to quite get us yet. And this was actually the last time I went to county jail before the last time. So this was the one that got me sentenced to the halfway house before I escaped there and went.
Oh.
At the register of a Home Depot, because they finally caught up with me. I was buying like $500 worth of random shit.
I thought maybe you were going to make like illegal birdhouses or something like that.
As far as I know, there are no statutes regarding the construction of birdhouses, so I think not.
Oh, okay. I like Home Depot. I like to go there. I don't know why.
I don't know what the code is.
I don't know either. Yeah. Who knows? Who can say?
But yeah. Just to jump backwards for a minute, you were saying in dollars adjusted for inflation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the podcasts I listened to was discussing the movie Ghost. And they talked about the budget of that movie was $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Adjusted to today's dollars, it's about $40 million.
Okay.
And it made $500 million.
Wow.
So that's a $20 million budget making $500 million is today would be like a $40 million movie making $900 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy. I didn't realize. I knew that movie was big, mm-hmm. but I did not realize it was like the biggest thing ever.
Why was it so big? I mean,
this is a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Is it because we all want to think that our loved ones live on or?
Yeah. It's just a really good, well-written movie.
It is.
Same guy wrote Jacob's Ladder. It's the same screenwriter.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
That was a hell of a movie.
And I also did not realize that Ghost was directed by Jerry Zucker.
Huh.
Of Airplane and the Naked Gun movies. Same guy.
Ever been in a Turkish prison? And I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
You like gladiator movies? Airplane. I've been a little bit busy this past week due to that nut job in Chicago. Did you hear about that?
No.
Guy went into the air traffic control center that basically handles the entire Midwest,
mm-hmm.
Lit a bunch of fires and then stabbed himself. And they shut down that air traffic control center on, it was Friday morning that this happened. And so basically any plane that had to fly in or out of any place close to Chicago, which is almost every plane, was delayed, rerouted, canceled. It's crazy. So we've been going back and forth to Denver pretty regularly all weekend.
Did that guy die?
No. He was trying to, but he did not succeed. And he was taken into custody and was in stable condition, last I heard.
Why did he do that? Does anyone know?
I don't know. I do not know.
Wow.
He's a little cuckoo.
I guess.
Cuckoo in the brain.
Although in this, like the way the world is now, I feel a lot like I'm just going to snap sometime and probably not going to light fires and stab myself. I don't know what I will do. Shout things probably, but still, like sometimes the world seems so crazy that like the sane people who think too carefully might not be able to function in it.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily hold it against people that do that because I just think, well, I mean, this is a weird world now.
Oh, it's really weird.
Maybe weirder than ever.
That's why I try not to look at it too much.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Which is why you don't follow my Facebook feed, I'm quite
exactly.
sure. It's, yes.
You've hit it right on the head.
I know. I'm aware. I know what the fuck is up.
And that's just me.
It's not just you. But yes.
Well, no, but I'm, you know what I mean.
So here's me drinking water.
Good job.
Yeah.
No Fresca?
I have Fresca, but I'm really trying to be disciplined about drinking water. Isn't that crazy?
No,
it's not.
Do the same thing.
That's actually the opposite of crazy.
Okay.
I think I've had one Pepsi in a week and a half.
Wow.
One.
I'm down to like way fewer Frescas and really trying to like, I can't drink water for pleasure yet, but I can, at specific intervals during the day, I can quench my thirst first so that I'm not drinking soda for
right.
thirst.
Which it doesn't do.
It doesn't do that much anyway, but you drink it faster when you're trying to slake your thirst, and you drink more of it. And so now mm-hmm. I know for sure when I'm drinking a Fresca that I'm drinking it for pleasure. And it is a very pleasurable drink to consume. It is. It's delicious. Delicious and refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Water sucks. I hate it. It's disgusting. But I fuck water. Fuck you, water. No, you know what? I saw that Masato Emoto book, and I'm not saying fuck you to the water. I'm saying thank you. Thank you. Love.
That's right.
I'm just trying to, like, do... This was my birthday present to myself. It's mm-hmm. like I'm trying to do better self-care.
And do you notice anything?
I didn't know what it was like to have spit in my mouth.
Right.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of unsanitary, but there were a lot of, like, yes, I do notice some stuff. I do notice some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think my skin might be better a little bit.
I was going to say, I've noticed, because I haven't seen you since we did the show last week. Well, that night after, but... I noticed that you seem to have more energy and you have better color.
What?
Than last week.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that when you walked in.
Maybe that's why the mirror didn't offend me so mm-hmm. badly today. It was very subtle.
Yeah.
But so, yes,
and
I'm trying to...
When I stop drinking sugar altogether, and occasionally now I will have a tea with lunch, or I'll have one or two sodas a week. So, but yeah, that was what I noticed immediately when I guess it was about 3 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was living on Mountain Dew basically.
Yeah, and sure. And you can get a lot of calories that way.
Yeah. And I just cut soda out. And yeah, within a couple of weeks, I felt a lot better just
it's
in
true.
General.
It's
just,
true.
You know.
And I do notice that I think that stuff is correct about aspartame. Like, mm-hmm. I do feel a little headachy when I drink too much of it now, and I didn't even really notice that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I really need to do that kind of stuff now. And so right when I wake up in the morning, I have a bottle of water, and I know I need to switch from bottled water as well. That's the next step.
I have a hard time
yeah.
doing that. I'm way better at drinking water if there's a bottle of it in the fridge.
Sure. I think I just need to start using the same bottles and bottling filtered water. But
sure.
Tap water freaks me out. And I don't know that bottled water is any better, except that someone has advertised it to me. And so I believe them.
Yeah. It's mostly tap water, but...
It is. So I wake up in the morning, and before I even get out of bed, I swill down 16.9 fluid ounces of mm-hmm. water. And I find that it actually does help everything get started better. I really didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I just have not been... Now, when I was a kid, I certainly preferred water to milk. Even as a small child, milk it was kind of creepy to me.
Right.
And so I grew up on well water, mm-hmm. which is very minerally and crisp and tasty in a way that I mm-hmm. really liked. Like, I went to visit my aunt in Jackson Hole, Wyoming once, and I thought, what the fuck is this? It tasted like I was drinking fabric softener, which is actually the way Arrowhead water tastes to me. I'm like, is this actually Snuggle? I mean, you know, so... But water of the two was certainly the more palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did drink it a lot when I was a kid.
Well, and it's kind of like the frog in the hot tub thing. You don't you don't realize that aspartame is giving you a mild headache if you always have
a mild
headache.
Yep.
You don't realize until you have something to contrast it with.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So I've noticed that I can tell now when I'm hydrated and when I'm not hydrated, and it worked really well for me during the show, you know, mm-hmm. that I just did. I didn't have to. The one thing was that I always had to leave to use the bathroom at the little break that we had in the show. I ran off to the bathroom and had to pee. But, you know, just that I felt like my vocal cords were working better and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff that I really just didn't know.
Yeah.
Before, so I'm going to keep at it.
Good.
Yeah. But I don't know that I'm ever going to be like, you know what I could really go for right now is some water. But like,
I don't know.
You'd do feel that way, yeah?
I get done mowing the lawn or something. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get in there and get a bottle of water. It's going to be so good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And do you drink it tepid? Because I prefer mine tepid.
No, I like it better cold. It tastes better to me cold.
It hurts my teeth, and then I get a cold headache, but I can gag down a whole thing of water fairly quickly without noticing if it's just like room temperature or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can deal with room temperature. I just, mm-hmm. if I had my druthers, if I were standing in front of a rack getting ready to steal a bottle of water and some were cold and some were warm, I would steal the cold one.
There you are. Yes. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a good measure of, like, what do I really want in life?
Mm-hmm.
If I were stealing these,
which one would I take? Yeah. Probably the one closest to the door.
Yeah, that part's true, too. Oh, I remember I was staying with a foster family when I was a kid, and then my foster dad went into the Loaf and Jug that I frequented each day, and, like, I thought I'd been getting over on those people. Because I stole every day because I wanted candy. I wanted candy so bad. And I felt so fucking, you know, as I was in a foster home and, you know, whatever. And I guess I just felt ripped off. I wasn't that ripped off, really. I wasn't. I'm not saying that. But I felt ripped off as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So I was real pissed off. And, I felt like the world owed me M&Ms, basically.
Sure.
And score bars. You know, score bars would make up for whatever I felt that I lacked in my family life.
Absolutely.
Whatever. You know what's going to make up for this? Delicious toffee.
There's a score bar shaped hole in my life.
Well, I've told you the Hostess thing, right? I mean, the Hostess donut thing?
I don't think so.
Have I mentioned that here? Len, does that sound familiar?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so my grandmother was quite a controlling person. She also had many good qualities, and I love her and missed her. But she was a very controlling person, and was not much on, you know, I mean, she was born in 1908, so I was raised by someone who began raising children in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
So the 70s were, you know, fairly new to my grandmother and
sure.
not the same as it was to, you know, raise a kid that watched Shirley Temple, you know, and so my hair was kept very short because Mia Farrow was doing Rosemary's Baby then, and everybody loved that little pixie cut and stuff. And my grandmother got tired of my screaming every time she combed my hair. So she just cut it. And then I looked like Bobby Brady, which I've mentioned. And, there was just a lot of sort of, you don't get to define yourself or who you are. And I could never steal anything when I was living with her because she did not allow children to have any privacy at all. So I remember this Garfield address book that I took one time, and oh, how I coveted it. And I got stole the Garfield address book, and then like less than 24 hours later, she was, and I thought I'd hidden it really well in my room, and she came out with the Garfield address book, and where did you get this? Because I know you don't have any money. You know, so like no fucking privacy, no sense of autonomy. And because she was a Depression era person, I actually at one point said to someone and didn't realize that it wasn't true until it came out of my mouth, something about like turning lights off or whatever, running water. And I said, because I grew up during the Depression. And then I was like, no, I fucking didn't. What? That's ridiculous. But I felt like I grew up during the Depression because it was like a little pocket of 1932 where I lived. You know, I was living with my grandparents and out in Black Forest. And so I got, you know, a lot of the stuff that she didn't know about fitting in with other children or why it would be painful to always be the kid that didn't dress like other kids and didn't speak like other kids and didn't act like them, and why I would want to, specifically why I coveted so much a pair of black velvet pants and one of those billowy silk poet shirts. Those were huge when I was young, and everyone had them. And
right.
I was really not allowed to dress like a, you know, like you hit about 12 or 13 and you start wanting to, in a sweet and girlish way, start to show off that you have a figure.
I know that happened to me at 13.
Of course it did. It did. But I was not allowed to do that because it seemed my grandmother did not want me drawing sexual attention, and that's not what 13-year-olds did in, mm-hmm. you know, 1939, and so I was not allowed to do that. And and so there was just lots of sort of feelings of no control over who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into junior high, and there had been that thing where she also discovered when I was in fifth or sixth grade that she liked peanut butter and sweet pickle relish sandwiches, which isn't that vile?
Yeah, that's
disgusting. I don't know where she found out about this. But
yeah, that it doesn't.
No, it's foul. It's just fucking foul.
Yeah.
And so she decided that because she liked that, I was never going to get anything for lunch except peanut butter and pickle relish sandwiches on Roman meal wheat bread.
No wonder you stole candy.
Yes, fuck off with that. And no matter how many times I told her I didn't like it, that's what the fuck I got for lunch.
Right.
That is what the fuck I got for lunch. And so I was always starving through the day. I couldn't swallow it. I wasn't going to eat it. So I get to junior high, and that's the first place that they ever, like, sold food to you that wasn't the, just, like, go through the lunch line and get either
right.
pizza or whatever crap they had there. And they had all of the Hostess stuff. So they had the donut gems, and they had ding-dongs and Swiss cake rolls. And they were really only, like, 35 cents or something. But because my grandparents were Depression-era people, while everybody else was getting $2 or $3 or maybe even $5 for their chores every week, their allowance. My mm-hmm. allowance was 35 cents a week, and they really thought that was fine for a child.
Yeah, you could go to the picture show and get a loaf of bread and a potato of milk for
yes,
35 cents.
That's exactly right. And so they really, they did eventually figure it out, but it really, I got like $1 or $2 a week. So I really mm-hmm. was not like other kids in that way. And God, I fucking wanted those. They were also the wheat germ parents, and the, you know, like my grandmother would make me drink prune juice every morning and take, you know, capsules of vitamins, and I was given spoonfuls of soy lecithin and just like all of these things. And so there wasn't a whole lot of pleasurable foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like, God, I would get them and my taste buds would just sing.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was like the most wonderful
sugar!
Thing. Give me! So it was like this. It was so wonderful. It was like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Right.
And then I would just spend like days more, probably very similar to your meth experience. Like, how can I get more of that? I want that. Oh, God. I have to have
yes,
it right now.
Absolutely.
Everybody. Oh, look at them. Look at them eating it. Look at that. Can I just lick the corner of your mouth for that little bit of, you know, powdered sugar is? Please give me that. And so at one point, this is where the stealing started. I was so angry about just not, and I would borrow from my rich friends that were in the part of the district where all the doctors lived and stuff like that. And eventually, you know, I stopped being able to borrow from my friends because I, you know, used that. I wore a hole in that shit, you
right.
know. And so there's just this point where I realized one day that I went into my grandmother's bedroom and I could see money in her purse. Now, she was so controlling that I had to be very careful about it, but she was also 75. So, I mean, there was definitely, like, if you moved stealthily through the house, there was certainly some times that she probably wasn't going to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Ha? She'd say. And so, and I could tell because of the way the boards creaked, you know, all the stuff the kids do. And
oh, yeah.
So I would just gently lift a little money every time I saw a new bit in mm-hmm. her purse. And all I ever used that fucking money for was Hostess donut gems. Donut.
Mm-hmm.
Gems. So excited about them. And so that's exactly right.
Cut to you in the pantry. Somebody opens the pantry door and you're there with a bag of powdered sugar. Close the door.
Yes.
All over your face.
Oh, don't think that I didn't eat weird things like that. I still will occasionally eat, well, not anymore, but just because of the dairy in it, but I would still eat like spoonfuls of hot chocolate mix.
Sure.
Yummy.
That's great.
It is great.
I still do that.
I loved non-dairy creamer, the Mr.
Okay,
Coffee.
That's a little weird.
No, it's delicious, man. It's delicious. It's good.
Well, I guess if you've already got a mouthful of hot cocoa mixed and a little non-dairy creamer in there, and you get yourself
no,
a party.
No, powdered non-dairy creamer.
Oh, okay. See, now that's wrong.
No, I would still eat that right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to get a sugar fix, then I guess.
Sweetness. Yeah. So even today, the whole point of the story is that even today, like, the taste of a Hostess donut gem feels like autonomy, self-definition, personhood. Mm-hmm. It feels like the very first time, because I realized later that it wasn't just that I wanted this sugar so, so fucking badly, and I had the most neurotic motherfucking family in the entire world about, like, no, don't give her sugar because her father's mother was a diabetic, and you're going to lose your leg. You're going to lose your leg, and you're going to be blind, and then you're going to be screaming, where's my mother? And you won't know your mother's right there because you're, oh, this was the one. You're going to be screaming, turn on the light, and you won't know the light is on because you're blind. And that was that was what was going to happen if I ate that fucking Three Musketeers.
Wow.
I was going to be diabetic.
So did you have nightmares about biting into a candy bar and then your leg just disconnects at the hip?
No, but I think that's, I had horrible nightmares, and I was,
I'm sure.
Clearly still a deeply neurotic individual, and it comes from that fucking shit. But,
yeah.
You know, so I eat Hostess donut gems even today, and you know what? I think each time I bite into its powdered sugary goodness, I think, you know what?
Sweet,
I am who the
freedom.
Fuck I am. God damn it.
Yeah.
I am me, and you don't get to tell me who I am, and I'm just going to... Oh, wow.
You can have my donut gems when you pry them from my cold, dead hands.
Yes, I am the Charlton Heston of Hostess donut gems.
Absolutely.
Donut gems are people. I am a people when I eat donut gems. Yeah, so that's somehow the stealing of sweet things for me had a lot more to do with feeling emotionally deprived, which I think is how a lot of people eat anyway.
Oh, yeah.
From my cold, dead hands.
That's what you're going to have to do to get my fucking donut gems. Back off!
That's right. Tell him, Chuck. There you go. It's okay. Have some water. There you go. So much better.
Fucking crap, the goddamn water.
What? Water's delicious.
It's not delicious. It is functional.
You'll get there.
Well, I'm trying. I really am, and I think I've been very good about it.
You have?
The number of times I urinate every day is a little bit prohibitive.
It's a good thing, though.
Well, it is. I haven't had a kidney stone.
Yeah, you're moving that stuff on out of there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Moving on out.
That's right.
So, yeah.
I got. Speaking of. am I thinking of the right show? That's the Jeffersons, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I read an article about Sherman Helmsley.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a big progressive rock fan.
Wow.
And this was a. It was a in an interview with David Allen from Gong.
Mm-hmm.
That. Their album, The Flying Teapot, had just come out, and it's this crazy psychedelic album. It's really, really good. If you've never heard of it, check it out. But apparently, old Sherm was a huge fan, and he wanted to fly the band out to L.A., and he wanted to put billboards all the way down the Sunset Strip of The Flying Teapot, and he was going to do this all with his own money.
Wow.
And so it was just about David Allen flying out, and he picks him up at the airport in a limousine, and they're passing a joint around in the back, and he passes it to him, and he's like, no, I don't smoke. And he's like, you're in Gong, and you don't smoke pot? What is wrong with you? And it's really funny. They went to his house, and there's like there was a couple of hippie guys in the basement with an LSD lab set up in Sherman Helmsley's basement, and
wow.
There was little bowls of cocaine on all the different floors of the house, and
wow,
yeah,
like
just
candy.
Craziness, yeah,
it's
yeah,
about to go down,
yeah, yeah, and Yeah, and they had a like just a on the top floor. They just had this room with all these like black light posters, and they had the flying teapot playing on a loop just constantly, and there were just stoned people dancing around. And
that's cool. I mean, always it's interesting, like knowing like that about people, because that seems I liked Sherman Helmsley. Yeah. I love the Jeffersons.
In the article, they linked a little clip from the Jeffersons when somebody turns the radio on and he comes dancing out of the bedroom doing this crazy dance. It's not Flying Teapot. It's from a band called Nectar, which is another British prog psychedelic band that I actually used to like a lot and had completely forgotten about until I saw that clip. And then I fell into a YouTube hole of
Nectar.
Of 60s British prog bands.
Cool.
And then I went to bed, and then I woke up and went to work.
You know who else was real cool was Red Fox.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pretty cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all those shows a lot.
Yep.
I liked Chico and the Man.
I don't remember that one.
That was Freddie Prinze.
Mm-hmm.
For the 5 minutes before he killed himself at 22 years old. But
right.
That was a great show. There was a lot of really great shit on TV in the 70s. I told you I was trying to turn Dylan on to Barney Miller, which was a jazzy fucking show, man.
I was in a movie with Steve Landisberg.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's super cool.
He was the star of that horrible, horrible movie I was in.
Wow.
I was a freshman in high school.
That's interesting.
So anyway, we'll talk about that some other day, because that's
been
a whole
quite lively
other story.
Today, I think.
It has. So thanks for tuning in, Frank. We would like to thank Eliza Rickman for letting us use her song Pretty Little Head off her album OU Sinners as the theme to our show. Check her out on Bandcamp and buy some of her stuff. It's real nice and tasty. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Babu or Facebook.com/Radio Babu. Rate and review us on iTunes. And most importantly, if you like the show, tell your friends. And if you don't, tell your enemies. And until next time, remember to use your outside voices.
Bye, Frank.
For the thrill, cut it, stick it where you got 'em.